This morning, as we look in Matthew 13, there's a lot of think of the difference between questions, yes, no, and maybe questions versus strictly yes and no questions. If someone were to ask you, do you like this certain type of food? You might be able to say unequivocally yes, or, with no reservations, no. But some of you might say, well, I kind of like it if it's made at this restaurant or something like that. It's not yes or no. Or they might say, are you outgoing, or are you shy, or are you silly? And you say, well, kind of, and you can't give a perfect yes or no question. Whereas there's other questions that are very definitively yes or no. Were you born in March? Well, I can say yes. Many of you would say no. It's simple, yes or no. One question that would be like that would be, is this person your father? Okay? If someone were to come to me with anybody in this church and say, is this person your father? I'd say no. But if they came to me with my dad and set him in front of me and said, is this your father? I'd say yes. It's yes or no. Very easy. Now, some of you say, well, what about adoption, and what about if you're, separated from your father? I understand that. But when I'm asking that question, I'm talking about biological father, birth father. Is this your father? Yes. And that is because there's a basic truth. Everyone has a father. And it doesn't matter if you've never met him, or whether you're here with him today, or whether he's passed away. Everyone has a father. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have a father. That's just the way it works. And just like we all have an earthly father, we all have a biological father, we also have all a spiritual father. And as we look at Matthew 13, when we're talking about the wheat and the tares, it talks about this fundamental truth that there is fathers, and it's yes or no. Who's your father? Are you wheat or are you a tare? And this is what we're going to get into this morning. But as we begin this morning, we're just going to start out with prayer right now. Lord, I thank you that we can look into this passage, into this parable on the wheat and the tares. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would examine our life and ask ourselves, what are we? Who is our father? Are we a wheat or are we a tare? And Lord, I pray that we would see the importance of this question. It's nothing that should be taken lightly. But Lord, that this is, there's a real danger, and there's a real importance to this question of which one. And Lord, and as we look into our life, Lord, help us to be honest. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us through your word as we look at this parable. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you look at the parable, you're reading about wheat and tares, and we're going to get into all that. But we need a little background on information on this passage. What is Jesus specifically talking about? What is this whole chapter? What is exactly is going on here? Well, to find that out, we got to go back to Matthew 10. Okay, so go back to Matthew 10. We're going to look at just a few different verses as we look over the next few chapters and set the stage of what's Jesus talking about here? What is he teaching? And as you look in Matthew chapter 10, look in verse number 5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, and then go into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Okay, so here's the setting here. Jesus, in the first 5 verses there, he chooses the 12, his disciples, his messengers. He chooses the people that the 12 men that he is going to take, and he's going to give them a message to send them out and say, okay, here's my message, here's what I want you to bring to the people. Okay? And so he chooses the 12, and then starting in verse 5, he says, okay, now this is the message I want you to give to them. So he gives them instructions. And as it says here, we saw it says, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans. He says, look in verse number 6, he says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach this, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. And so he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. Give them this message. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom is ready. This is what you've been waiting for. He says, now, well, who I want you to go to is the Jews. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't worry about them for right now. I want you to go to the Jews and tell them the kingdom of heaven is here. It's ready. And it's ready. He says, and you can heal the sick. You can cleanse the lepers. You can raise. He's telling them all these things that they can do, and says, do it. Provide signs. Let them know that this is real. This is not something that's false. The kingdom of heaven is here. And this, as you go back to the Old Testament, we're not going to go back there, but as you go back to the Old Testament, you find that this is exactly what they were waiting for. The Jews were waiting for their Messiah. The Jews were waiting for this kingdom, saying, all right, the Messiah is here. And so the disciples go out, Jesus go out, and they spread this message. Here, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here, it's ready here, Jews. You just need to receive it. You just need to receive me as your Messiah, and the kingdom is here. And what happens, though? They don't. They don't receive this Messiah. They reject it. As you look in a couple chapters later in Matthew chapter 12, they're rejecting it at every instance. They reject the Messiah. And then as you look at the end of chapter 12, look in verse number 38. It says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. So here's Jesus saying, Jesus and his disciples going around saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it is, the kingdom of heaven. And what did Jesus say? You can perform all these signs so that your message is verified, so that you know for sure that this is a real message, that it's not false. So he says, and so what we know and what we read in Scripture is that there has been plenty of signs. There has been people healed. There has been many things that have happened by the hands of Jesus and by the hands of the disciples. Many different signs have been shown. And what do they say? Master, all we want is a sign. Well, come on, you've seen signs. You know it's true. Yet you're still rejecting. And so how does Jesus respond? He says, he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Basically saying, you already have a sign. Now you're seeking more. You're just being evil and adulterous. And he says, there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So he said, this is the sign you're going to get now. He says, the sign of Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by the fish, by the giant fish, and was in there for three days, and he was delivered to Nineveh by this fish, and he preached to the Ninevites, and what happened? They repented, and they listened to Jonah. He says, that's the sign you're going to get. And what is he? The picture is of him. He says, I'm going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. I'm going to be buried. I am going to be killed. I'm going to be buried. And I am going to rise again. And I'm going to come from there and I'm going to preach. He says, and you're not going to listen to me. He says, the Ninevites are going to be a judgment against you because the Ninevites listened to Jonah. And you know, you gotta think about what Jonah would have looked like after 3 days in the belly of a fish. He wouldn't have looked pretty. You know, he wouldn't have smelled good. But yet these Ninevites listened to him. And here was Jesus, the Messiah, greater than Jonah, greater than anything that he would have looked like or taught like. Here was Jesus, and they weren't listening to him. They weren't seeing his signs. They weren't doing anything. And all they were doing was accusing him of blasphemy. And so he says, this is the sign you're going to get. I am the Messiah. But then as we come to chapter 13, he is continuing to react. to this rejection of the Messiah. And Jesus here in this whole chapter is revealing in parables. And we could have began at the beginning, and I'm sure as I've said before, we are in the process of kind of just looking at different parables from the mouth of Jesus. And we could have gone through this in a systematic way, starting at the beginning and going till the end, but I'm sure we'll go back and look at some of these parables in the coming weeks. But Matthew 13 is a series of parables that he delivers to these people, and he's revealing something to them. And he's revealing to them a mystery. Look there in verses 10 and 11. He says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Why are you talking to them in parables? "And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So he gives them parables, stories with truths tied into it so that those that should get the message will get it. They, you know, he will explain it to them. But those that were not going to understand that message are not going to get the message because it's in parables. It's if you want to say, kind of hidden. But he says, "I want to reveal mysteries." And as you look in the Word of God, a mystery is not like what we would think a mystery is, a mystery novel or a mystery movie. A mystery is something that has not been completely revealed. In the Old Testament, if you want to look at it, the church age, where we are right now, was a mystery. They thought, you know, here the Messiah will come, then the kingdom, you know, that's it. But no. What we are in right now, Christ came, offered the kingdom, and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They rejected it. And so now, in this chapter, he's revealing to them the mystery. And that's what we're in right now, this church age, where we are being dealt with as Gentiles. Remember, he says, go to the Jews. Don't worry about the Gentiles right now. Go to the Jews, tell them that the kingdom of heaven is here. They reject it. He says, all right, I'm turning to the Gentiles. And so, as here in, sorry about that, chapter 10, he is revealing through a series of parables, what exactly is this mystery, this church age? What is this? And see, God always knew that the kingdom would be rejected. He always knew that this would happen. He wasn't surprised. He was ready to show these mysteries, and he was ready to turn to the Gentiles. And so here in chapter 13, there in verse 24, what we've read already was this parable of the wheat and the tares. And basically, as we go through it, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed good seed in his field. And he says, but while men slept, his enemy came, sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? How did the tares get there? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So here's the picture. The landowner, the people, they sow good seed in the field. But then, while the people were sleeping over, as they were waiting for the next day, enemy comes in, sows in tares. Wheat is the good. That's what you want. Tares, and we'll get into this a little bit more, is a weed. It's no good. It's good for nothing. And then, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So here, you have wheat and tares together. And they said, how did this happen? They asked the master, how did this happen? And he says, well, the enemy did this while you slept. And it says, so should we go out there and gather up all the tares? Should we go up and gather all the weeds? And he says, no, because if you do that, you're going to possibly take up the wheat also. He says, let them grow together. And then there will come a time of harvest. There will come a time where the reapers will come and they will gather together the tares, the weeds, and gather together the wheat. And so here's the picture. And you say, well, what does that picture mean? Well, look a little bit later in verse number 36. Here is Jesus describing what he meant. He says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field." He says, "Let us know what this means." And he answered and said unto them, in verse 37, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." This is Jesus Christ. 38, "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So here's the description of exactly what he is talking about. So as we look at this, there are some truths that we want to get out of this. God has sown believers in this world. It says here that the one that is sown is is God. And then it says, and Satan has sown unbelievers in this world. There is wheat, those are the believers, and there are tares, the weeds, those are the unbelievers. Wheat and tares, there's no middle ground. There's no, okay, are you kind of a wheat or are you kind of a tare? No, are you a wheat or are you a tare? Or is it a good fruit-bearing plant, or is it a weed? You're either one or the other. And so we find a few truths about this. One, they can look the same. They can look the same. The picture here is of a tare that looks the same while it is growing. This is where there was a thing called a darnel. This is what we're talking about with this wheat and the tare. This darnel, it's a weed. It's a bastard wheat, and it can look the same until the fruit is actually showing. And so what you have is two seeds that look the same. You have two plants that look the same. As they're growing up, you can't tell the difference. The only time you tell the difference is when they sprout, when the wheat sprouts, and they say, okay, there it is. There's the fruit. There's the wheat. That must be it. This one's not sprouting. There's no fruit. This must be a tare. This must be a weed. And so they can look the same. And as you look in this world today and throughout history, you find that exact same thing. You find mankind growing together. You find people that are moral. Find people that lead a good life. You find people that seem to have things going together, that they don't do the things sometimes of this world. And you know what? They might even look like a Christian. But you know what? They can look the same. And so here you have two things that can look the same. You know, we have a group of people here. I don't know. Some of you, who knows? I don't know. They look the same. And the same thing with people. A believer and an unbeliever in many ways can look the same until the fruit is showing. And that is the thing. Their fruit is different. Look here in verse number 26. They can look the same, but their fruit is different. Verse number 26 says, "When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." That's the first time that they were able to see. It is when the fruit is showing that we know the difference. And it's when the fruit is showing in a human's life that we can find out, well, what is it? Are you a weed or are you tare? Is there fruit or is there not? And that is and that is all because of their source. As we said at the beginning, it said, we were talking about the question, who is your father? Said, I know for sure, if someone asked me who my father is, or if they asked me, is this your father, I'd say yes or no. There's no in between, it's yes or no. And in the same way, the source between the wheat and the tares is different. Who sowed the wheat? Jesus Christ. Who sowed the tares? The devil. There's no middle ground. Either they are a child of the king, or they are a child of the enemy. And that's what it says in verse number 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. See, the tares have their father in the wicked one. The wheat has their father in the kingdom or in Jesus Christ. And once again, no middle ground. Either they are a child of the king or they're a child of the enemy. So what do we do about this? You know, some have looked at this parable, and as they look back in verse number 28 and on, when it says, when the servants say, "Do you want us to go out and gather up all the tares? Do you want us to go up and gather up all the weeds and pluck them up so that we can have the wheat by itself?" And what does the master say? He says, "No, don't pluck it up. Let them grow together. Because otherwise you might accidentally take up a wheat, or you might damage a wheat, and so let's just let them grow up together." Some people would look at this, some people have looked at this, and they say, "Well, church discipline is wrong. We should just let anybody in our church, let us all grow up together, whether believers or unbelievers, and we should all just grow up together and not have any church discipline or nothing like that, or we shouldn't try to keep a pure church because there's going to be tares in them anyway, obviously." And so they look at that way, but see, he's not talking specifically about the visible church. He's talking about the world. He says the field is what? The world. So he's talking about the entire world. Now obviously, churches can have tares. Churches can have weeds. You know, I'm sure that as you look at the churches of this world, I'm sure that there are not very many out there that do not have a tare or two in them. You know, we were just down in Florida, and Shannon's former pastor from years ago, who she grew up under for many years, he was preaching in the Orlando area, and so he invited us to come up to it was a conference, and so we said okay, so we drove up to the church on that Wednesday night, and they were good. Independent Fundamental Baptists. They didn't just have one speaker. They had two. Okay. So, they didn't want to waste the time there. So we got there a little late, but, her former pastor was preaching, so we got to hear him preach for a while, and then we sang a song, and then the next preacher gets up. I'd never heard of the guy before, and I don't even remember his name, and I don't even remember where he came from. I believe it was out east somewhere. And he started to tell his testimony. He didn't really preach. He was telling his testimony for the most part. And he was saying about how when he was probably in his 50s or so, but when he was younger, as he was growing up, as he made a profession of faith when he was young, and he grew up, went to the Christian school, and he believed he was being called into the ministry, and I believe it was at age of 28, he was called to a church to be their pastor. He was about 2 years into his ministry there when an evangelist came, when he had an evangelist come and preach at his church. And there, on one of those evenings, as the evangelist was preaching, he realized that he was not saved, the pastor of this church. Now, I've heard testimonies like this before. It always boggles my mind. But here was a pastor of a church who was unsaved. And that night he went forward to that evangelist and he says, "I need to be saved." And the evangelist is like, "What?" But he led him to the Lord that night, and that pastor was saved. And then he tells later in his life, as he was pastoring a different church, and I believe it was his son-in-law who was on deputation to go to the mission field, and they were active and everything. And he got a call one day on his phone. He says, "I got saved." And here he was, this missionary, ready to go to the mission field. And this happens. I mean, churches, you know, we can, depends on what we're looking at. You know, there are many people, I believe, in Christendom and in churches who are looking back to a time in their life where they, you know, they might not even remember. Maybe they had their parents tell them, "Yeah, you prayed a prayer one time. Yeah, you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and, yeah, I remember it." And they give them false hope, and there's a profession, but there's no real faith there. And I'm sure, like as I said, churches can have tears. And I'm, as I said, most churches, many churches probably have tears in them. But that's, there are many that are deceiving themselves or have been deceived by Satan and believe that they are true wheat. But church, as we think about that, church discipline isn't wrong. Church, when an obvious tear weed has made himself known and is hurting the wheat in the church, discipline is necessary. So as we think of that, it's not saying that church discipline is wrong. It's saying that we live in this world. Okay, we're in this world and we live alongside, we go to work alongside, we have families that might have many different wheat and tares. Okay? And what should we do? Go around and take up all the unsaved and put them over here, and go around over here, take all the saved and put them over there? You say, no, this is the message. No, that's not what we're to do. We're to grow up together. Okay, we're to grow up together and we are to live in this world together. But there is a major difference between a wheat and a tare, and that is their end. Their source is different. They may look the same, but their end is, their source is different and their end is completely different. There is coming a time of harvest. Look there in this parable. He says, let them grow together until the time of harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. There is coming a time of harvest and there is no escaping it. Either you are a wheat or you are a tare. Either you are a true fruit wheat or you are a weed, a tare. You could come and ask me, you could come and ask the deacons, you could come and ask your family. We don't know for sure. This is up to you to look into your own life and say, what am I? Am I a wheat or am I a tare? It's not my job to go around and say, okay, wheat, tare, wheat, tare. No. This is each individual's job. And those that are wheat will be gathered into the master's barn. As you look there in look at the description in verse number 43. It says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Those that are true wheat, those that are believers, will be gathered into the kingdom of their Father. They will shine forth. And those that are tares, as it says in verse 42, shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And their end, the end between these two, could not be any more different. One will have eternal happiness and the other will have to suffer through eternal sorrow and agony. Hell is real. It's not, no matter what some people want to believe or not believe, now, no matter what Rob Bell says about, you know, hell not being real, hell's real. Jesus teaches about it. Why does Jesus talk about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Why does he talk about a furnace of fire? Because there is a true hell. There is a real hell. And so you take two seeds that initially look completely the same. And you take them, and as they grow, once again, they can look completely the same. But as you look at these two things that at one time looked almost exactly the same, take two things that as they grew, they seemed exactly the same. Look at their source. Look at their end. It's completely different. You know, hell is not something that is to joke about. Hell is not something that is lighthearted. Hell is real. And there are people out here, and people in churches, and people in different areas that are thinking that they're wheat. They say, "Oh," or they're fooling themselves, saying, "Yeah, I'm wheat. I go to church. Yeah, I'm wheat. Yeah, I said a prayer so many years ago. I don't remember it. I don't even remember what it was all about or anything. I didn't understand anything at the time. But I'm wheat. I sing the songs, the good songs. I'm wheat." You know, oh yes, I give money to church. I'm wheat. And there's many out there that are saying this to themselves, just saying over and over again, I'm wheat. Because they don't want to admit to themselves. As I gave this illustration of this pastor. Now, it wasn't that he all of a sudden understood that he was unsaved. No, he knew all along. But his pride, he said that in his message. He says, my pride was there. He says, I was fooling myself saying, yeah, I'm saved. But when he realized that when God got a hold of his heart and he was convicted of it, he realized and he accepted the fact, and his pride was destroyed, and he says, "No, I'm not." And you know, I, like I said, I don't know each one of us. I don't know, you know, I can look at your testimony, I can hear your testimony, I can see what you do, I can talk to you. You know, I don't know what is in your heart. I don't know what's happened in your life. So I can't say, you know, I can't stand up here and just designate each one of you, wheat, tare. I don't know. This is for you. This is for you to say, what am I? Am I wheat or am I tare? Am I bound? Am I going to be bound for this furnace, or am I going to be bound for this kingdom? And you know, this is not meant to just what can we really do about this? The great thing is that, you know, as you look at your life, you know, you don't have to say, you know what, I'm a tare. You know, I'm a weed. I don't have that true fruit. You don't just have to keep going that way. What it takes is recognizing that, saying, you know what, I'm not a true believer. I'm not this true wheat. I am something else. And so what we need to do is realize, I'm on my way to hell. I'm on my way. I'm not a true believer. And so you take that realization and say, I need Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ. And take that moment in time and trust in Him and have that true faith. You know, some will listen. Some will not. You know, all we can do is spread the message. You know, we can look into our own life, and once we realize, yes, I'm wheat. This is the fruit is there. I truly am a believer. Then we can bring that message to others. And one of the parables that we'll look at some other time is the parable of the sower. And many of us are very familiar with that parable, where the sower goes out and throws the seed out. Some of it falls on good ground. Some of it falls on bad ground. You know, we're not in charge of where, you know, what the ground is like. We're just in charge of dispersing that message. And that's the message in the parable, the message of the gospel. And so as we have opportunities, we just spread the message. Some may hear, some may not. But we can't control the responses. We can only spread the message and test our own life. Are we a wheat or are we a tare? As we look in here, it's not enough just to look like wheat. There's plenty out there that look like wheat. There's plenty out there that have fooled themselves and say, all right, I'm just going to look like wheat. I'm going to dress myself up and look and do exactly what I should do. And here they are looking just like wheat. But in the end, the reapers will know. The angels will know. They aren't going to be fooled by wheat and tares. They know exactly which one is which, and they will bundle those together that are tares, and they will be in the lake of fire. And so many people do not want to believe that. Even Christians, even true believers maybe, don't want to believe that, thinking, oh, God wouldn't send people to hell. Well, this is the point, is that sin is what separates man from God. And if there's sin there, God doesn't have any choice. God has died for that. Christ died for that person. He provided salvation for that person, and that person tried to do it on their own, rejected that message and did not trust in Christ. There's no other choice. That person needs to be sent to hell. No matter how good they look, no matter how close to wheat they look, they still are going to be sent to hell because of their sin. And so I implore you, as people that are sitting under this teaching from this passage, don't go out from here thinking, you know what, it's good enough to look like wheat. It's good enough to act like wheat. It's good enough to try to fool myself into thinking I'm wheat. Look into your life and say, what am I? Who is my Father? Is God my Father because of salvation? Or have I been fooling myself this whole time? And is Satan really my Father? Am I a child of the deceiver? Look into your own heart. Are you a wheat or are you a tare? And if you are a wheat, then we have a message to bring. We have something to sow. And let's bring that message to others, because hell really is real. And there is danger of people going there. Let's pray.